10 Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hi, I'm Dawn with Sunkissed Charters. Come and sail with us on a 37-foot endeavor out in the Gulf of Mexico. Up to six people, $100 an hour, three-hour minimum. You can split it between each other. Pet-friendly, bring your own food, drinks, restrooms on board. Make it a memory maker. Call 727-871-7788 or call 727-315-4936. SunkissedCharters.com. We'll see you out at the Gulf of Mexico.
Looking to cool off in the summer or turn up the heat in the winter? Then head over to Clearwater Ice Arena, Tampa Bay Skating Academy Oldsmar, or TBSA Countryside. With three locations in the Tampa Bay area, you can enjoy a wide range of hockey and figure skating activities and programs. We offer youth and adult pickup hockey and leagues, skate, shoot, freestyle, and public skating times throughout the day, so you will want to come back again and again. It's fun for the whole family. And don't forget to schedule your next birthday party or private event with us. Visit TampaBayIce.com for more information.
Over here and you're watching Don Reese Miracle Stories, so you better keep watching because I'm going to be on it pretty darn soon. If you don't, I'm going to go Hercules on you. Okay.
What's up? It's Joey Fatone and you're listening to Don Reese with Miracle Stories. I know I have a bunch of miracle stories to tell everyone, so hopefully we'll get a chance to do that. But you're listening to it right now.
Hi, I'm Dawn Reese with Miracle Stories TV Network. I will bring you inspirational stories that will warm your heart and give you more faith in walking with God. Do you have a miracle story? Call 727-871-7788. You could be next to give your miracle story testimony. And if you want miracles to happen in your life, join us at beaminghope.org in Largo, an amazing church with real miracle stories. And we have Sunday service, Wednesday Bible study, women's fellowship, men's fellowship, and kids flip night. Get right with God and come to beaminghope.org and join me on Tuesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. I'll see you here with Miracle Stories. Well, actually, we're changing the show to Thursday nights from 8 to 9 p.m.
That's the first time we played it since you moved.
I know. We're so excited. I want to thank Keith Walker, that is a friend of mine, told me about this story. And I'm in awe. And before we introduce him, let's play his theme. He likes his song, so we'll be right back. Right. From, oh my gosh, he was a Chippendale dancer. He from porn to pastor. I can't even, the story he told me is just wow, and I'm just honored to have him on the air. We'll be right back.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle.
I'm not who I used to be.
Wow, what a powerful song. And people on Facebook and social media are saying, I needed to hear that from Beck Sides. Also, it's important where it says that song says, not who I used to be. And let me introduce to you a man that I think this is going to be one of the most powerful testimonies this hour that you are ever going to hear. Welcome to the show, Kevin. Introduce yourself.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
You're perfect.
My name's Kevin Kirch. Thank you for having me on.
Wow. When we talked the other day, again, thank you, Keith Walker, that he introduced us to each other. And so you told me a story that you, we're going to get into the your whole life story as well. We have some clips of some TV shows. And I just want to start, you were a Chippendale dancer. You got into porn and you became a pastor. You have your own ministry. And just to give you an idea, I turned on Hulu to watch the Chippendale show. I told my husband, I have to watch it, by the way. And no, he just kind of laughed. But it's so amazing of how this guy, Steve, had a vision board and all this stuff that happened. But there's so much more that happened in this whole process, from murders to, oh my God, deceivement. And It blows my mind of just what I've been watching as well, and you lived it. And so tell us your story, Kevin. We're ready.
All right. So, well, thank you for having me on, first of all. Thank you for that. I guess I'd start when I was a kid. You know, I was born to a normal family, as they would say. Our family had a good relationship. It was more my father, me and my father, than my mother. She kind of was on the outskirts doing her little thing. But my father died when I was 12. So he was like everything to me. And when he passed away at 12, when I was 12, it crushed me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you real quick. I have to intervene on this, you know, because my son passed away at 34 and my grandson was 10 at the time. And he was very close to his father. And you're telling me how that affected you and how that crushed you. I get it, because I saw that. How did you get through that part when your father passed away at that age, before we go into it?
I didn't get through that part till decades.
Wow.
It was decades before I got through that, because I had to kind of process it. And I numbed myself with sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know. And finally, when I came out of that, was when I had to start processing this whole hurt and loss and all that stuff. So, no, I didn't. I found a good way to dodge it for a long time. When I finally did get through it, I had to look at... and I put it in my book, there were some things that I had to look at and the Lord showed me. And, you know, he passed away, and that's what it was, but it kind of formed my testimony, because my father, he wasn't Jesus. He was Catholic. He was, well, you know, I had a brother that was a born-again Christian. He'd come over the house, and my father would kick him out of the house because he was talking Jesus. He was a Jesus freak. So I was so close to my father. Now, this may sound weird, but I was so close to my father that I don't know if I would have accepted Christ.
Wow.
He wasn't about Christ. And I was all about my dad. So in one way, I look at it as like, well, did God have this situation where he was removed so I could get to where I needed to be? I don't know, but it kind of settled my spirit that way, where I was like, okay, well, you know, God has a plan. It's his plan. It's his perfect plan, and maybe this is what needed to be done. But I did find out later on that my father did accept Christ probably 2 days before he died. So,
wow.
Praise God for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So after your father passed away, then you're about 14. You had told me another. Oh my gosh, this is like a Lifetime movie, not Hallmark. You told me that your mother found a new boyfriend, and
yeah. So she was my mom. Yeah, as soon as she passed away, she took a little bit of time off, and then she started dating all these different guys. It seemed like the guy she was dating was from the VFW, I believe, or the military go. And then there she was, you know, some other places where my dad worked. And this one particular guy, she started dating him. He was coming over the house, and he would come over, you know, half drunk, or be drinking there with her, or you know, and I'm only 14 now. We got to flash back. My father was a Gold Glove boxer in the Navy, and so he raised me as we were father and son, and then we became buddy buddy, where he taught me respect and fighting and all these things. I had no idea what he was doing, but make a long story short, so he would take me out the garage. He would be like, if you're mad, we're going to go out the front yard of the garage and we're going to handle it, not like men do. So he taught me how to fight. He taught me, you know, if I lost a fight, I would get handled. If I started a fight, I would get handled. So I learned this whole really wild thing. But make a long story short here, the man came in, he was drunk, and started talking, you know, mess about my dad. He's no good. He was no good. I knew him. I was his boss and all these things. And my dad always said if he had a problem, to take somebody outside. So I was 14, and I called him outside. Hmm. He was probably 55, maybe. He was not that old. And so I called him outside, and he said, what are you going to do? And I punched him right in the face and knocked his glasses off of his face. And I said, you're not going to talk about my dad like that. And my mom was right there at the front door screen, and she saw it, and he said, your son is crazy, and it's either him or me you choose. And she called the police, and I remember the police said, you have to bring him down to the station and file him as an incorrigible runaway.
Wow, at 14.
And she drove me to the police station with him following in the other car. Drove me to the police station, signed the paperwork as an incorrigible runaway, and they handcuffed me and took me away.
Wow. So what happened after all that? We have an hour. We have about 40 minutes. We have a lot.
And all right, we'll go quick.
No, you're good. We have a lot of clips that I have of you as well. I want to tell everybody you're an author. You wrote your story. And what is the name of your book?
It's called My Game, My Pain, My Purpose.
And you weren't a writer. Wow. We're going to get into
the
that.
Book cover.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll get into that later.
That's amazing. And where they can buy that on Amazon, correct?
Yes. Just you can look for Kevin Kirchner, My Game, My Pain, My Purpose. It's God wrote that book. I'll just tell you right now, I'm not a writer. I was actually sleeping, and I saw the vision of the cover in a dream. And I wrote that. I drew it out a little bit, sent it to one of the graphic artists, and he finished it. And then I sat by my computer to write, and I was trying to write in my own strength, and it wasn't happening.
Hmm.
And I remember I sat back. I had about 3 pages done. And I said, this is it. I'm done. God, I don't want to do this book. You take it. I'm out. And as soon as I said that, it flowed. And I can tell you that when I started writing, I would write, like, let's say the first chapter, which is the deal. I write the first chapter, and I would hear, insert a page. And I would say, okay, so I'd insert a blank page there, and he would give me something else to write. And so I would be writing 2-3 chapters at a time, and he would just be downloading into me what to write. Literally, when that book went to the editor, nothing needed to be done.
Wow. Now, how were you writing this? Just quick, was it on the computer, on a notepad?
Yeah. No, on a computer.
Okay.
And I don't type, so it was like, but it was completely God. And then I went to, I had a couple publishing companies that we were talking to, and because, if you haven't seen the cover, you'll have to look at it, but there's a girl on the cover. And because of the girl on the cover, the Christian bookstores didn't want it, because, you know, that just shows too much there. And I'm like, so I said, okay, I'm done, God, forget it. And I actually shut it down, and I threw it away, and it was over. And one of my buddies said, hey, there's a publishing company that, why don't you check them out? And they said, we love it, let's do it. And it was, from the time that I gave them the book to the time that it was on Amazon, it was probably 2 months, 3 months.
Wow.
I mean, fast.
And how long did it take you to write it?
Probably 3-4 years.
Amazing.
Because I would start to write it, and I would get, you know, attacked and hit with my past. That's why Redeemed is such a song for me, because I'm not the old guy, but the enemy wanted to use me as that. He'd bring up these things and shut me down and give me writer's block. Finally, when I finally gave it to Christ, it only took me probably a year to finish it.
Oh, praise God. Wow. Wow. So that's just a little insert there for everybody. And we're going to go back to your story. So you're 14, you're at the police station, and here you are on your own. What happens next? Like, what happened with your life?
So I don't want to give away too much of the book. The book is basically what it is, but I'll tell you what happened. We busted out of jail. I found some guys that were older than me in there. I ended up in the streets of South Los Angeles, so like Compton, Gardena, Torrance. I was out in those areas, and I was couch surfing, and my brother that was the Christian, he was going to a church out there in Torrance, and I remember calling him to see if I could stay there. I'm on the streets. It's 14, 15. I'm on the streets.
Ooh.
And he said, no, he goes, my wife doesn't want you to be over here right now, so no.
Wow.
Well, yeah, so then I'm at this other house, and I make it to across where his apartment. I'm sleeping at another house across the street from where he lives. And they said, why don't you come to church? I came to church. And then I started living at this apartment that the church had with these men that were like 22, 23. I'm living there. I'm only 14, 15. And then a family had seen me, and they, you know, asked my brother if I could spend a week with them living there, and they'd see how it'd work out. Well, it worked out, and they ended up bringing me into their home, and I was there for probably a couple of years. And then the church decided they didn't like the fact that I was there, and they had daughters, and you know, I'm 17 at the time, and the daughters were like 15 or 14, and the church didn't think that was a good idea, and so I had to leave that house. So that's what starts the story, so my father, I'm saying, okay, my dad dies, he's gone. I accepted Christ at 14 in this church. I accepted Christ. I had my prayer language at 14. I was a team leader at 14. And then the church says, you got to go. So now I have a problem with God.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have my mom left me, my dad left me, and I believe God left me and the church left me. That was the perfect time for the devil to come in. And that's in the story called The Deal, where the devil, I actually was face to face with the devil.
I just actually got chills. I mean, it's going to be 30 to 40 degrees this weekend, but no, it's not happening yet. But I actually got just chills when you just said that wow. Wow. So, oh my gosh. I have to ask you, because I'm going to jump into something. We were talking about after, because we don't want to give too much with the book, of course, but yeah. I did a lot of research last night when I'm watching the movie, and my friend is like, oh my gosh, you're really doing research. I even found Steve's son. He's still alive, and I was reading about the daughter. I just have to jump into this, and then you said you knew Steve. Was that before you became a Chippendale dancer? Were you at that same club up there?
Yeah, so I was. I don't want to give a lot of the book away. The book basically is going to go through everything from the beginning to me coming to Christ and all of that. There's a lot of stuff going on that the devil tried to take me out for decades, but Jesus was there, you know. But I will say that I was there. I was at the club on Overland in Venice. I was there. I was, at one point, I started at 20. I had a phony ID. I was there. I knew Steve. I was there. I was on Geraldo's.
Yeah, I saw all those clips, and I know we can play. We have our as a cap that we can play these here. We're going to play a couple of those scenes as well with this the hour.
We have ABC up ready to go.
Yeah, we can do ABC in a second. How did you get into that world? I just kind of jump into that real quick. Like, how did you become a Chippendale dancer? I mean, what enticed you to do that?
Well, so. And this is a little piece in the book. So when I was in high school, what happened was I left the foster family. We were done. I ended up getting back with my mom for this little split second. I was basically, she was there, I was there, but we weren't mother and son. And I ended up going back to this old high school. Well, I was dating this girl at the time, and she had a Chippendales calendar on her wall. I went into her bedroom. She went in her bedroom, and she has this Chippendales calendar on the wall. And she says, I would do anything to with these guys. And you got to realize that at that time, I had already made the deal. So I basically summoned the devil. And I said, okay, God couldn't do anything for me, so let's see what you got. And I actually said, this is what I want to do. when she said it, I said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be the best I can be, and I'm going to make it. I was a goofy kid. Everything changed. My looks, everything changed. So basically at that moment, at 17, I made this that I wanted to be one. And I didn't know what I was doing. By the time I was 19, I made my way to these little clubs. I'm not going to name the names of the clubs, but they would have these hot body contests for, like, men. And you go off and take off your shirt or do this and that. So the first contest I was in, I was, what, 20? And one of the guys, I was coached to get into this contest. You know, I'd been watching him for a while. Didn't know how to dance or anything. And so what happens, I do this contest, and the guy that gets first was from Chippendales. And I ended up getting second. And he said, hey, why don't you go out and try Chippendales? I'm like, huh? He goes, here's he gave me the Steve's name, the lady that did the hiring, everybody's numbers, and said, here, go tell them I sent you.
Now let me ask you, is that right when Chippendales opened? Because I know what year they opened up. I was doing some research on that too. Was that just new that they opened up, or was that already been going on for a couple years?
It had been going on for a couple years.
Okay.
It had been going on for a couple years. So by the time I hit there, Chippendales was famous. It was world known. I mean, if it was like the calendars were in Spencer's Gifts, I don't remember. I'm dating myself.
Oh, I remember. Spencer's, yeah.
Right. It was like Chippendales was the thing. It was the bars of soap, the play cards, the air fresheners. I mean, everything was, you know what I mean? So when I came in, it was rolling. It was like the thing to do. And so I'm just a kid. And I'm like, really? And I ended up going down to the little office across the street from Overland and Venice. There was a little office across from the club. And I talked to the lady, and she said, well, why don't you start tonight? We'll give you a shot to see what you can do. And you had to be 6 foot tall. You had to, applause meter, you had to have at least a 10. No less than an 8. 8 to 10 on an applause meter every night for a week.
Wow.
If you didn't get it, you weren't in. And at this time, there was only 5 dancers in L.A., 5 dancers in New York, and there was probably 7 or 8 hosts in L.A. and 7 or 8 hosts in New York. So it was very limited of how many guys could even do this thing. So, but I was there. I met Steve. In fact, Steve had said, before he hired me, I came off stage one night too after the applause, and you know, you had your lineup, and he said, he looks pretty young. And I remember the lady, Bonnie, her name was Bonnie Hollis, and she said, yeah, but I think the women like that. And he goes, well, let's see what he can do. And so the next night I came off, and I got like 8 or 9 on the applause meter, and he looked at me and he goes, welcome to Chippendales.
Wow. Was he married to that Irene yet?
Yeah, Irene. No, he was. Was he married yet, or was he? No, I think he was still dating, because I believe they were either just had got married or were still dating by the time I was there. Yeah.
Wow. That's wild. I have to add this in here real quick. Do you know the original Chippendales was located at 3723 Overland Avenue in Los Angeles? Guess what? That building now is seemingly operate as an adult daycare facility.
Yeah.
Making it unusable for the show. I had to show that out. I was like,
it became a daycare like in the 90s or something like that. It became a daycare. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. So here you are, you know, with, you know, can you set up the ABC? We're going to play that clip on the air. Tell us about ABC. You're on ABC?
Oh, that was ABC, what, 2020?
Is that right, Bobby? Yes.
The murder, Chippendales murder.
Yeah, so you'll hear in the very beginning of it, you'll hear my voice, and then there's one spot they have me talking about Steve. But I'm not in, I only have a couple clips of it. You'll see me, there's like one clip. You'll hear my voice talking about that he was about murder, and then you'll see me talking about how he was about all of his money.
Well,
I had a little cameo spot, but that was a great. So that piece was probably more on point. Hulu was a little off. It's a little bit off. It's on, but it's a little bit off compared to reality.
Okay, we're not going to play all of it because there's so much in his book that you need to hear. And then we also have a clip of you being on another show with Phil Donahue.
Yeah, yes.
And then Phil, there's another one where there's swimsuits from Hawaii.
Yeah, so they're, oh, yeah, okay.
They're trying to sell swimwear. Very, yeah. Like Jimmy Buffett's swimwear, it looked like almost. Okay, we're just going to play a little bit of this clip,
okay, and then,
and we'll be right back. We have just an amazing man that from Chippendale Dancer to a pastor ministry right now, and just I'm in wow of your story, and God bless you for being on the air with us. We'll be right back.
Murder for hire cases in the history of the FBI. Always said behind every billionaire is a dead body or two.
Welcome to Chippendale.
To please welcome from Los Angeles, the world famous Men of Chippendale.
Still fascinated with Chippendales today because it's just this perfect relic of the big, wild, and crazy 80s.
It was booze, sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Back in the 1980s, when Chippendale really blew up, it was a groundbreaking genre, giving women a taste of something that had never existed for them before.
Muscular, then disrobing for an audience of women, and kind of flipping the script in terms of what we usually think of as a strip club situation. Part of the whole point of Chippendales was that nobody ever stripped naked. The naughty bits were always covered.
A lot was going on in the 80s that made the moment just right for Chippendales. Feminism was on the upswing. Women were making their own money, and the idea that women could go out and spend that hard-earned money, that was becoming more accepted.
Why don't you take it off? Cause I've been thinking about how good I'm gonna look on you.
It was a
So this is up on, what is the wording for that one for people and watch the whole, because you said it's pretty long.
Yes, it's about 50, about an hour long, and it is 2020 ABC new full episode, Chippendale's Murder, ABC TV.
Wow. And you have to watch that Hulu special. I'm going to jump into another quick segment here before we go to another clip here in a minute, Bobby.
The other two are short.
Yeah, the other two are short. So that Chippendale movie, which I thought was a movie, it's actually a series. I'm like, oh, I'll get to watch it before Kevin comes on. And I'm like, oh, shoot, it's a series. So have you watched it?
No, I watched the 2020 one. When I filmed that, and I'm out here in Texas, so the 2020 ABC was actually here in Dallas, and I filmed it at Mickey Gilley's club over here. I filmed my piece of the 2020 episode. And then I haven't seen the Hulu one only, and I'll tell you why. I try to keep out of my... I don't go back to that place.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of sit away. I got to keep my mind clear. I got to keep my spirit clean. I was in it. Mm-hmm. So I know what it was like. And I don't want to go back and give the devil a foothold to get me to kind of think of crazy things again. I really got to keep myself in place. I have no reason to look at it. But I do know that people, all my buddies will say, hey, man, did you see it? Hey, man, did you see it? So I know that it's there, but I also know that it's a little bit off.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
But I don't have a desire to watch it.
Right. I was going to say, how true to that story, I know that they said that Irene, they added some extra things in it with her. I was reading some things on about that. But how would you say that Hulu series is so true to real life with a lot that happened?
I don't, like I said, I haven't seen it. I know the people that have seen it, and I know the guys that filmed it for Hulu, and they were like, it's a little bit off. I can tell you that I was in it, so I know that Steve was all about money and greed. I was actually there at the LA club when they said Nick DeNoia got his head blown off in New York. I was actually on stage doing a rehearsal, and they said Nick DeNoia got his head blew off in New York.
Yeah,
I remember.
I have to tell you, that's about the season I'm at where Nick goes to LA. I mean, from LA to New York, and this is the part where he wants to open his own club and do a better club than what Steve had. And Steve was very upset about that.
Yeah, Steve. So listen, Steve started this thing. The whole thing started with it started way back with Dorothy Stratton and Paul Snyder. Dorothy Stratton was a Playboy playmate. Paul Snyder was he was like his, her boyfriend slash manager, and they had this club going on called Destiny, and Paul killed himself, and they saw that men did better than women dancing, and Steve took it from that point, and it just went boom. And but Steve came in, and it was very it was money, go, go, go. I mean, you had to be 6 foot tall, you had to be at least 8 to 10 on the applause meter. The women had to like you. If it wasn't, if Steve didn't like you and the women didn't like you, you weren't there. And it was, this club was packed. I mean, capacity I think was 300, and we would put in 700, 800 a night at the club.
Wow.
I mean, fire department would come in and shut you down. There was times I took Steve off the roof. Like, he would, the fire department was looking for him, and he would climb up the balcony, and he'd say, "Kevin, meet me out in the parking lot." He'd stutter, you know, "Kevin, can you meet me out in the parking lot?" "Sure." And I'd go out, and he'd jump down the roof, and he'd jump into my car, and we'd drive down the street. He'd be hiding in the back seat of the car. I had no idea what he was doing. I was just a youngster.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Wow. So were you in all the Chippendales calendars and everything, too, all their promotional material at all?
So Tall, Dark, and Handsome video was made around my show. What happened was they called me, and they said, "Hey, you want to do it?" So let's go. So Steve Banerjee is doing the L.A. club. New York, Nick DeNoia is doing a New York club. Steve Banerjee wants to do this, make this thing bigger. So he brings in Steve Merritt, who's a choreographer from Las Vegas.
Right, I saw it.
So
right.
That's where the whole thing happens. Steve Merritt, Nick DeNoia, there's this big battle. Steve Banerjee's there. So they make this video, and they called me and said, "Hey, we want to do, your act was room service." My act I did was room service, and they wanted to make this whole thing around room service. So it was a woman's fantasy. A woman's night out starts where she goes out and she has the hotel and the room service, and it's all this whole where she's thinking about her whole fantasy of men through this whole video. And so I did that video. It was originally supposed to be with Vanity, and it ended up being with Judy Landers. And my piece, which was, it was great. I was there, I filmed it for like a week. There's a story about that in there too.
I heard Judy Landers lives here in Florida. Not very far.
Yeah. Well, she was actually the girl that I was, my partner in the hack room service.
Wow.
So, but make a long story short, so Steve, they made this video. I was in that. And then the calendar, it was very strange. I did some greeting cards, and I did a couple playing cards, and I did the video. I did all the TV shows and the radio shows. I did those kinds of things. On tour was a lot different because I had left to go on tour.
Somebody's asking, can you tell us what shows you were all on?
So we did Donahue, me, myself, Donahue, Sally Jesse Raphael, Geraldo Rivera. And then I did, those were the three based big ones. And then I did a lot of news shows and TV shows to promote when we were on tour. Like, so if I went to Florida, I would probably do AM Florida the day before we had a show the next day, that type of thing, you know. So I did a lot of news, a lot of different talk shows, cooking shows. I can't remember, please forgive me when I say this, but I can't remember everything because I was in a fog. I was in a 10-year fog.
Right. Well, didn't you say there were so many drugs in that era with the Chippendales?
Yeah.
Well, that's just wow. At least it's shut down.
It was on the table. It was basically, you know, the club in LA was theater seating, so the stage was down, and you have three levels of bench type stadium seating. But there was coke on the tables. They were doing coke in the bathroom. They were doing everything they could all over the place, and there was a no holds bar. When you walk in that club, forget it. It was on until 2 a.m.
Wow. So that you got into another aspect. We're going to jump from Chippendales. You got into some, I do have 15 minutes. We're going to have to do part two. And, you know, because I was talking to Steve's son, and he's still in the business, you know, and I'm like, I told him who I have on the air today, and I've, you know, so I'm trying to get him on. So I'm going to send him this clip. And he said he used to live in Clearwater, which was amazing. But we're going to jump to another thing because it's in your book. You got into porn. How did that transition from Chippendales get into that era? And then from that, just a quick snippet of how you became a minister and when God finally got you and shook you. Tell us that part as well.
So you got to remember, I accepted Christ at 14, but I don't want to give the book up. There was a reason why I kind of just left and said, okay, devil, let's see what you got, and I ran amok.
Right.
So I was in Chippendales for 10 years.
10 years? Then, wow. I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 10 years. And call it nine and some change. But then I left, and I had some offers to do some things in L.A., like Kevin Sorbo, the Hercules. I could do something on that. I could do something on Renegade, Remember Lens of Office. And I had these opportunities, and this producer was working with me on some stuff, and it got really crazy, and it was kind of this Hollywood junior scene, you know, schmoozy, well, who do you know, and all this stuff. And I didn't want to do that. I'd been doing that for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to this club, and one of my buddies was there, and he said, hey, Kevin, he goes, you know, I know you, you like to do the drugs and the drinking and the women and all those things. He goes, hey, I can get you something where you're making, you know, four figures a scene to have sex with a girl. And I went, huh? And he said, yeah. And I was like, so of course I partied more and thought about it, which was a great combination to do. And you know, I really didn't have anything going on, and I didn't want to do Hollywood, but this was kind of like the devil had me. Got to realize, in Hollywood, you can't be doing a lot of drugs and drinking. I mean, it's different, but on the porn side, you can do what you want. So I said, you know what, let's try it. And I went to meet the agent, and that day I shot my first film that day. And I was in porn for 10 years.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so that's all in your book. And let's jump to the part where you got out of that, and what did God do when he really shook you and said, Kevin, wake up. Like, Kevin, wake up. You know, I'm here for you. How did God come into your life?
He was always there.
Right.
I mean, it was always kind of like, you know, if I got too high, I'd be like, oh, God, please, I don't want to die. You know, my heart's beating out of my chest. I'm seeing things, you know. And so it was always kind of this relationship between God and then the devil. But the Bible says that nothing will separate us from the love of God. And I was already sealed. I was already sealed when I accepted Christ. So this was kind of like the story of where, you know, God says, all right, devil, you can have him for a little bit, like Job, but we're going to bring him back, and he's going to have a testimony to lead others to me. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of like that type of a situation. And so I was in a field. I remember I'm in a field, and I have a loaded 9mm. And I'm ready. I'm done, because this is 20 years of sex, drugs, rock and roll. A lot of men will think, hey, you know what, man, what a life. You have all the women, you have all the cars, all the houses, all the money. I made more money than the average guy would make in a lifetime.
Jeez, how old were you? Can I ask, how old are you when you're in that field? Like, what age about?
So I'm... Chippendales was about 20. I started in the other field. I was in late 20s, early 30s.
Wow, so young.
So I was, but I was, yeah. And so I was in that for that amount of time. But the crazy thing about it is, men will be like, oh, you know, wow, you know, you had all these things, you do what you wanted, but I was empty inside. It didn't matter. I couldn't have enough money. I couldn't have enough women. I couldn't have enough drugs. Couldn't have enough alcohol. Couldn't have enough cars. I was empty inside, so I was in this field ready to just do it. I was going to end my life. It was over. I was done. I was tired. And I hear, don't do it. I love you. I'm in a field all by myself. There's nobody around.
Wow.
And I'm like, huh? And I knew it was God. Now, understand that even though he said that and I heard that, I still kept doing porn and still kept partying. But that was in me, and I felt it. I was like, oh. So eventually, he had to bring me to my knees, where I couldn't do any more things. I was completely broke down. There was nothing left in me. I would be in my room, balled up in the fetal position, crying and just a mess. And finally, you know, finally, what happens is, I went to this one facility to be there and hang out with some people there and talk to them. You know, things started changing a little bit here and there, but at some point I started reading the Bible. And you know, I talk about my wife. My wife is in the book, and we were just dating, and she would put in Christian songs, and she would give me affirmation books, and she would say, read this, and say this over you. And she would read me the word, and she would just keep doing this stuff, and it started soaking in. And so I came back to Christ in 2012. And he never left me. I came back to him in 2012. I was ordained as a minister 2 years ago.
Wow, congratulations. Praise the Lord. You know, what is your ministry called, and where can people find you?
And it's Kevin Kirchin Ministries.
There you go.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, and I just talk about, I don't, so I'll say something about that. It's not about, you know, church. There's a lot of church hurt or church this and that. I'm not, I give you the straight out of the Word of God, and we don't judge. One thing is, some people think sin, well, his sin's worse than her sin, her sin's worse. Listen, sin is sin, and God, we've already been forgiven. When he said it was finished, it was finished. We're forgiven. So we don't judge. There's no judging. I don't care if you're coming to, I have a church that I just started in here in Texas. I don't care if you come high. I don't care if you come sexed up, drugged up. I do not care, because neither does Jesus.
Do you go to other churches and give your testimony as well?
I want to start. I'm saying this on the radio. I don't know how to start. I don't know if it's the enemy or it's me. I don't know how to start. I want to go out and start talking about my book and these things, and I'm sitting here going, okay, what do I do? I'm spinning my wheels, and I'm in my ministry on Facebook, and I have my church, but I know I need to get out and do things, and I keep stumbling myself by getting out, trying to, you know what I mean? Because the story needs to get out. The younger generation is getting wiped out by the enemy right now.
Exactly.
Because it used to be, porn used to be this hush-hush. I remember it was like this hush-hush thing, and my dad had these porns in his little closet, and the Playboy would come in the brown cover, and it was this hush-hush. Now, if you're a porn star, you're almost more famous than the Hollywood star.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's like porn you want to be, and I see these things on TikTok, and all of my buddies said, get on TikTok. I was like, oh, I got on the first thing, I shut it down. I was like, oh, we ain't doing that. It's so here's what happens. I'll just say it like this. It's become a, I like to say, misogyny,
mm-hmm.
in a way, and it's also become where you these visions of the women or the men, because you understand that there's probably 35-40% of women are addicted to porn too, and sex, drugs, and all these things. It's not just men anymore. And
wow.
It's teens and kids, and it's the youth. And so I'm trying to get in here to let them see that everything has its season. The only difference is the season could end up in death. 50 friends of mine, 50, okay, when I say that number, 50 that I knew in porn are dead.
Wow.
From overdoses or suicides.
That's
praise God,
so sad. Well, you know, Keith Walker saying, truly one of the most powerful testimonies he's ever heard. Thank you so much. And also, there's another little comment. He said, God turns our test into testimonies and our mess into messages. So you definitely have a message to the world. And I want to help you get it out there as well, as we're doing live right now on 3 FM, 3 AM. I know we have about 8 minutes left. I do want to play two more clips real quick. And then you can tell everybody where to go, Bobby, with that.
This one is WDEF News 12, the art from the archives, Chippendale Dancers in 1988.
Okay, we'll be right back. I just want to play a couple, you know, minutes or seconds of that. We'll be right back. Thanks, Kevin. Hold on.
They've seen these guys on all the major talk shows and on one of the biggest selling calendars in the country. Those $7 calendars were personally autographed by the Chippendales. That was just one of the many chances for the ladies to get close to the men who came here to pamper them. But you may wonder, what did the guys get out of all this?
Doesn't seem normal.
But sometimes the women don't always behave. They sometimes take the fun too far.
Okay.
Well,
YouTube unfortunately doesn't have the actual interview.
So where can they see that one, Bobby?
That one is on YouTube, the archives, Chippendale Dancers in 1988.
Okay. And then the next one.
Let's try this one, the model one.
Okay.
This one should work.
Yeah,
well,
real quick, and then we'll be right back with our closing of our show. Just an amazing, powerful testimony.
That's about it.
What is you have to be found. Yes. Yes. I think I understand your point. First of all, not a lot of guys are going to necessarily show up and say, hey, I want to take my clothes off. But obviously, there are guys once... I assume most of you were hesitant to do this for a living when you first thought about it. I don't know. I don't want to speak.
Sure. All of us had inhibitions initially. We definitely did. I had to be talked into it, pretty much.
And you must have been terrified that first night out there, huh?
I'm, believe it or not, basically a semi-shy person. I don't really... I know. Yeah, right. No, I had to be talked into it, and I put restrictions on what I would do and wouldn't do, and, you know, and just work around it.
And, what?
What would he do?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, obviously, we're not talking about total backal or frontal, I don't think. We're talking about entertainment for married women and other conservative people across Heartland who want, who want a different night out.
Do you recommend him going in your occupation?
Well, I'd at least make
so we're sense. Back. And Bobby, that was a Phil Donahue. I remember. I love Phil. What was that one called?
That one's called Chippendale Dancers Model Swimwear. I'm just find that on YouTube.
Yeah. Gotcha. Kevin, we only have like 7 minutes left. What would you tell somebody that's out there that is like, you know, I would like to try that. I want to do what he did. What would God tell you to tell them?
Well, everything has a price. So what I've had people that ask me about porn or stripping, and I would say that you lose yourself. You lose your soul. You become a piece of meat. You become objectified, and you're chasing the money, and you're looking at your looks, and you're trying to do this. But I can tell you that when the lights are out, and the music's off, and you're out of the club, and you're all by yourself in your house, that's when all the hell breaks loose, because all you have is that. You know, eventually I've watched a lot of people commit suicides or overdose because they base their life on their looks and on their money and on their fame. And if you have nothing else, the devil's got you. And it's a hollow business. It's a hollow, it's very self. It's all about self. Mm-hmm. And nobody cares about you. I mean, please don't think that the men and the women that are coming to see you care about you. They don't. Mm-hmm. They care about themselves. And they're using you to objectify you to get what they want. It's the same in porn. You know, the business objectifies you to make their money. The people that click it on their phone are objectifying you to get what they need to get, and you're just a number and a piece of meat. As soon as you're gone, you're going to be replaced. And eventually the lights will burn out and everything will end, and you're lost. You're lost. I would say don't do it. Get a job at Walmart. Get a job at Target. Get a job at a drive-through Sonic. Do something other than strip. Mm-hmm. Go get an education. Figure out something else to do. Don't do that.
No. And all of this... all of this and more in detail about your life. And at 14, it just breaks my heart. Just thinking of, you know, I have a grandson almost that age, and just thinking, here you are on the streets, and your story just really touched me. And I hope everybody listening on, I'm on TikTok. I have an 8.2 million view on a pontoon boat that looked like it was sinking, but it's not. We were taking it out there. So I'm under Dawn Reese Show out there on TikTok and Facebook. I want to thank everybody for watching as well. And, you know, with your book, tell everybody where they can buy the book, the title of the book again.
So you can go to Amazon. It's called My Game, My Pain, My Purpose by Kevin Kirch. And you'll see a cross, you'll see a girl, you'll see all the stuff. So the cover of the book, I'll explain. The cross took everything. So Jesus took everything on the cross. The man who knew no sin became sin. So when I saw the vision, the cross became all of my sin. And he took it all on the cross. And so you'll see that, and that's how you'll know it's my book.
Wow. Yeah, this is definitely... A miracle story show is the background. I have Stairways to Heaven behind me, beautiful clouds. And, you know, what does Kevin do? We have like 3 minutes. What is your hobby? What are the fun things that you like to do in your life now?
I honestly like to talk about Christ. I like to find people, and the Lord will lead me to people that are lost, broken, or hurt, and I talk to them about Jesus. I go to the gym. I love the gym. I'm in the gym 5 days a week. I love training. I've actually led people to Christ in the gym. We've gathered our hands together and prayed right there in the gym. I'm just all about Christ now. I had nothing else. Listen, I had nothing. I was done. I had nothing left, and now Jesus has redeemed me into being a servant for him, and I just love people, have a good time, talk about Christ, work out, whatever you want to do. I don't care. I'm alive.
You know, that's the whole thing, being alive and doing things that you like and loving life, because you can't take any of this with you, and you're here to help others as well. You know, and Kevin, I went to the ice rink today. I went ice skating. I used to be really good. And
I watched it.
Oh, did you see my video?
I watched it, and I liked it. I was like, oh, wow, I can't do that. I'd be in the hospital right now in some kind of like a tourniquet. I would be done.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Keith Walker just told me a breaking news. Lisa Marie Presley just passed away from a cardiac arrest. Oh, my God. Just right now.
You know, I'll tell you this. Here's Lisa Marie. My brother died last night. And the thing of it is when somebody dies, and when God bless, you know, Priscilla and everybody, hopefully she knew Christ. That's the whole, you know, when you leave this earth, the Bible says we are immediately, boom, with Christ. Immediately. So hopefully she knew Christ.
I hope so, too.
I don't want to see anybody go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's why I started Miracle Stories, Kevin, because, you know, when my son passed away, you know, I've had six people in my family, I have a minute, that passed away in the last 2 years, and people have given me books of that they died and went to heaven, and how glorious it is, and I know that my son is in heaven, and I'll tell you, it's just been a blessing to have you on, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's what Keith Walker is saying, our dear friend that introduced us to each other, and my God, lust is never satisfied, only love.
Can he hear right now? Can I say, hey, Keith, brother, I love you, man.
Woo! Well, we want to thank you so much. I can't wait to read the book, and we definitely would love to have you here in Florida. If you ever get here, we'll take you sailing on sunkisscharters.com. Come out and sail with us on a 37-foot endeavor and just have a memory maker. And I can't wait to meet you in person. And this show is going somewhere. I can't tell you yet, but look forward at the International Christian Film Festival. I did already. All right, everybody.
All right, thank you. Be blessed. I love you all.
God bless you, too. What do you think of that story?
Amazing.
A powerful. All right, God bless everybody. Give God all the glory and honor, and watch things happen in your life.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is